You're listening to NPR.
It's 8:04 Central, 9:04 Eastern. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Colin Jackson. Economists are predicting Kentucky will bring in slightly more tax revenue in the coming years, but that increase will likely be eclipsed by financial obligations. This week, an official panel of economists called the Consensus Forecasting Group predicted the state will collect about $250 million in new revenue over the next 2 years. However, that new money will likely be outpaced by growing costs in the state's systems for pensions, corrections, and Medicaid, among other obligations. Jason Bailey is the executive director of the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy. He says lawmakers need to find a way to raise new revenue in the upcoming legislative session.
If they don't raise serious new revenues, you know, I think they're going to be harmful cuts to a lot of things that matter in communities where legislators are facing re-election.
The state will also have to absorb an estimated $121 million school safety bill over the next 2 years, which lawmakers passed last year but did not fund. Democratic Governor Andy Beshear has proposed legalizing casino gambling to increase revenue, but Republican leaders of the legislature say that's a non-starter. A new report from federal auditors finds the Department of Energy is underestimating the cost of cleaning up 3 contaminated uranium enrichment plants located in Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee. Bernie Patterson reports.
The DOE has so far spent more than $15 billion cleaning up 3 gaseous diffusion plants near Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Paducah, Kentucky, and Portsmouth, Ohio. Built in the 1940s and 50s, the 3 plants produced enriched uranium for the country's atomic energy and nuclear weapons programs. The now closed sites are contaminated with hazardous materials and radioactivity. In a report released Tuesday, the Government Accountability Office says multiple actions, including better cost estimates, are needed to improve cleanup. The DOE estimates the cleanup will cost more than $28 billion. The report found that's likely a low estimate and that the agency is short at least $25 billion in its cleanup fund. Cleanup on the Kentucky and Ohio sites could take from 20 to 50 years. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
Attorneys for the bankrupt coal company Black Jewel have announced plans to liquidate the company early next year. The announcement signals the end is nearing for a protracted bankruptcy case. Black Jewel's bankruptcy revealed weaknesses in Kentucky's bonding system and sparked a months-long protest by unpaid miners. Some claims remain in the case, but an attorney for the company expects them to be resolved quickly. Black Jewel was among 8 major coal companies to file bankruptcy within a year amid continuing decline in demand for coal. The University of Kentucky is increasing the starting pay for employees earning minimum wage. Those workers will now start at $12.50 an hour. That's up from the current starting pay of $10.40. It's the second time in the past 4 years UK has raised wages for those earning minimum wage. An estimated 1,700 workers will be impacted by the changes. You're listening to WKU Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from iDrive.
And you're listening to NPR News.
And for WKU Public Radio, I'm Colin Jackson. The leader of the Kentucky Senate is continuing his calls for an investigation into the state's $24 million settlement with opioid maker Purdue Pharma. Senate President Robert Stivers says he doesn't yet know who would lead the investigation. Stivers has complained that the state was shortchanged in the settlement. Attorney General Jack Conway reached it at the end of 2015, just a few days before he left office. Stivers says he'll introduce his proposal to look into the matter at the beginning of the 2020 legislative session, which starts January 7th. Union coal miners and retirees in the Ohio Valley and across the country breathed a collective sigh of relief after the U.S. Senate passed a spending bill that includes support for miners' pensions. The bill, which funds the federal government for the coming year, will now go to the president's desk, where he's expected to sign it ahead of the Friday deadline. As Becca Schimmel reports, that legislation included a bill securing pension and health benefits for retirees.
The United Mine Workers says about 82,000 retirees and widows could have lost some or all of their retirement benefits in 2020 without congressional action. The union spent years fighting for what they call a moral promise the federal government made to coal miners to provide for them from cradle to grave. The legislation shores up miners' retirement benefits through increased contributions from a fund related to the Abandoned Mine Lands program. UMW spokesperson Phil Smith praised the passage of the spending bill and the bipartisan American Miners Act.
It's a very good day for and good week for retired coal miners.
and their widows and their families. You know, we have come to what we hope to be the conclusion of an almost decade-long fight to preserve pensions.
The previous version of this legislation included increasing a tax that helps fund the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund, but that was removed from the bill. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel.
The Owensboro-Davis County Regional Airport has adopted a policy protecting members of the LGBTQ community. The Messenger Inquirer reports the airport's board of directors has unanimously adopted the language for its official policies and procedures. The move impacts the airport's employment and customer relations policies, banning discrimination on the basis of gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or transgender status. There's mostly cloudy skies in today's forecast with splashes of sunshine with highs in the 40s and 50s. You're listening to WKU Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from this station.